not because of pedigree. I'm not of noble birth. It's not because of wealth or fame. I'm a man of little worth. It couldn't be that you purchased me to gain something special, love. What could it be? It's plain to see, it's none of the above. Was it because of your mercy, Lord, you took my penalty? Was it so heaven could be my home that you went to Calvary? When you chose death to give me life, was it because of your great love? The many reasons are not of me, they're all of the above. God forbid that I should glory, save in your cross alone. It's all of thee and none of me, no glory of my own. I've been liberated and captivated by your redeeming love. All that I have, all that I am, is all of the above. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. From death to life, from rags to riches, from bonds to liberty. From crown of glory to a cross of shame, you became all that I was. To give to me new identity in all of the above. God forbid that I should glory, save in your cross alone. It's all of thee and none of me, no glory of my own. I've been liberated and captivated by your redeeming love. All that I have, all that I am, is all of the above. I've been liberated and captivated by your redeeming love. All that I have, all that I am, is all of the above. Job,
Cameron. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to go to Leviticus 17, find that chapter in the Old Testament. The sound is not right. We'll get this fixed here, back to our regular settings on Sunday night while you find your place there in Leviticus chapter 17. And we're going to read a couple of verses in this chapter, and I want to speak a little bit tonight, a shorter message. Of course, when I say that, we usually get in trouble, but I do think this will be a little shorter tonight. I don't have as many pages up here as I normally do. If you found Leviticus 17 and you're able to stand in honor of God's word, join me and I'll begin reading in verse number 10. Leviticus 17, verse number 10. So the Bible says here, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. I want to speak tonight a little bit on the subject, the necessity of new blood. The necessity of new blood. Our Father in heaven, thank you, God, for the opportunity to preach from your word. And Lord, I pray that it'll be done with your Holy Spirit's blessing and help tonight, because that's the only time it does any good. When we have your help, Holy Spirit, would you please come, freshen up our minds, our attention, and Lord, help us to concentrate, give ourselves to you for these next several minutes. And would you, dear Spirit, please have your way in the service. Fill both speaker and listener with your anointing. Help us, Lord, to understand the importance of this matter. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. The Bible is not a biology textbook, but it most certainly is biologically accurate and correct. The idea that the human body is put together in any other fashion, any other way, other than by a divine creator is insanity. That's absolute insanity. The way the body functions is an incredible testimony to the truth that God created Adam and Eve. We know that. Now, one of the reasons we know the Bible is God's Word, several of them. One of the reasons is because of its credibility. The Bible is credible. It's credible both medically and scientifically, even though it's not a medical journal and it's not a scientific textbook. But God made some laws about the eating of blood for his people. You saw that in verse number 10. And this law, if you read carefully there, it pertained to the Israelites and then to those who were foreigners or strangers living amongst the Israelites. So they didn't have to be pure blood Jewish people. It could be people that were living amongst the Israelites as well. This law applied across the board. The animals were used in sacrifice to make an atonement for people's sin. And God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood is that animal's life. Now let me say, this is not the subject of our theme of our message tonight, but let me say this. The blood is still made, the sacrifice of Christ's blood is the atonement for our sin. You understand, this was animal blood, so it had to be offered over and over and over and over and over again. It could never take away sin. It could only cover it. It could only cover it for a short time. All right? But when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he said the words, "It is finished," meaning that was the last sacrifice that would ever be offered for the sin, for mankind's sin. And if you've not been through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, there's no other way to heaven but through him. Jesus didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay, now, that being said, animal blood was being offered for the sacrifice of sacrifice for sin in the Old Testament. And blood was sacred to God. Sacred to God. And even though human blood was not used for sacrifice, human blood is still sacred to God. Earlier in the book of Genesis chapter 9 verse 6, God said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." You know what that teaches? That teaches the death penalty for capital murder. You take a man's life, government's supposed to take your life. If that happened in our country, you'd see the murders decrease. But until, as long as that's not going on, murders are going to keep on and on and on. Blood is sacred to God because it is necessary. Blood is necessary to sustain human life. And human life is sacred to God. And when it comes to the human body, this is why bone marrow is so important to our physical bodies. Bone marrow produces new blood cells. Now, you know this biology lesson, okay? In our blood are red cells, white cells, and what they call platelets, all right? Red cells, they carry oxygen throughout your body, and they remove waste from organs and tissues. White cells, you know what they do. They fight infection. That's what they do when you get cut or something. White cells fight infection. And the platelets help the blood to clot and stop bleeding. Now, you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know if you've studied biology. Blood cells die every second. Red blood cells die more than white ones. So reproducing them is vital. And the reproduction of blood cells comes from healthy bone marrow. I read where healthy bone marrow produces up to 500 billion cells per day. Now, that was off a couple of websites, and other websites disagreed, but let's just say it produces a whole lot of blood cells, okay? And when disease strikes bone marrow, then leukemia can develop, and you know that's dangerous, all right? Anything that messes with the health of our blood is dangerous because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood is a living, it possesses a living principle. And that the life of the whole body is derived from it and dependent upon it is a teaching of divine revelation. It's taught in the scripture right here. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of those animals is in the blood. When you take the blood out of the animal, it dies. You take the blood out of a human, they die. It's a result of divine revelation. This is why the circulatory system in our body is so vital to it. You know, Solomon spoke about the circulatory system. He talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He mentioned all those things that can go wrong with your body as you age. And one of the things he mentioned was the pitcher be broken at the fountain. We're not talking about pitching a baseball here. We're talking about the heart. The pitcher be broke at the fountain. That's a reference to the heart sending and receiving the flow of blood throughout the body. If blood supply is lost to one of your extremities, that extremity dies and results in amputation. So blood flow, circulation, all that, the life of the flesh is in the blood. This was not a medical finding. This was divine revelation in God's word, okay? Now, this is not a biology lesson tonight. So I'm using this text and using everything I've said so far to say this. The church is referred to as a body. And the human body is used as an illustration of the church. Jesus is called the head of the church, and the church is his body. Now, our physical body is created to produce new blood because those cells die off. Those cells have to be replaced. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, physically. And folks, in our church, in the same way, the life of the church is in the blood. It is the production of new blood cells that keeps a church body healthy and well. You know what the bone marrow is of the local New Testament church? The bone marrow of the church is the outreach programs, the soul-winning ministries. They are the bone marrow of the church. That's where the new blood is produced. New blood being newly saved people. When the bone marrow gets unhealthy in your physical body is in trouble. When the bone marrow of a church gets unhealthy, the life of the church is at stake. And you know who makes up the bone marrow of Faith Baptist Church? It's me and it's you. It's me and you. So why are we talking about this tonight? Well, in just a few minutes, I'm giving Brother Allen a lot of time here because it's going to take some time tonight. He's going to introduce to us the theme of our spring program. It's getting to that time where we're going to set aside 4 weeks to encourage and emphasize getting the gospel to people, inviting people to church, special events that are designed to encourage others to attend the service, spending a little extra money. You know, we spend money for a lot of things around here. If you fellas have ever been to our annual financial meeting, when Luke used to put the pie chart up there, the outreach program, the outreach budget of the church was always about this big. So we don't make any apology for any money spent involving outreach, whether it's printed material. And we were talking the other day in staff meeting. I even gave Brother Allen the go-ahead to go ahead and go beyond what we've already budgeted in this specific line item. We usually don't spend all that budget anyway. Because, folks, if there's ever been a time where the people outside the four walls of this church building need to know about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus and the hope that salvation brings to a family, an individual, it's now. And if you don't see, I don't know, if it's of no concern to you, the way this world is trending right now, you got a heart problem somewhere. You got a heart problem somewhere. So you say, you know, as spring and fall, every year, is this ever going to stop? Will this kind of thing ever end? If it does, we'll be in trouble. If it does, we'll be in trouble. The life of the church is the new blood. So the consistent, faithful effort of members reaching out to others is vital. The importance of this cannot be overstated. I've had personal conversations with several of you, and there is excitement when you look out here and you see new converts sitting in the auditorium. Amen. It's an excitement. Amen. And we have people here that haven't been saved very long. Man, it just was saved this morning. And people this morning that haven't been saved very long. And it's new blood. If you haven't kind of looked around on Sunday morning, I thought today we were a little less attentive. Easter's never been a big occasion for us, it seems. I don't know why that is. A lot of churches, their biggest day is Sunday, Easter Sunday. But if you haven't noticed, on Sunday morning, this thing is filling up down here. And it's across the balcony sometimes, 30 or 40 people sitting up there. And that's exciting. That's exciting. That's what keeps the church going. It's the new blood. It's bringing people in. The importance of it cannot be overstated. You know, there's an interesting fact I read about the body and blood. When the body is young, almost all of the bones produce blood through the bone marrow. Almost all of it when the body is young. But as the body ages, less and less of the bones produce blood marrow. As the body ages. You know what that means, church? You apply that to the setting of the church. The older our church gets, the more important it is for us to continue to reach out with the gospel to other people and get them in. The older our church gets, and we'll be 55 years old this June. 55 years old as a church. So less bone marrow produces less new blood. The soul winning and outreach programs are neglected. Absolutely, a church cannot have too many people involved in getting the gospel to others and reaching people for Christ. Brother Allen's mentioned twice today a need for a regular driver. I didn't know that. Didn't know we had a need. We didn't meet about that. That's fine. Don't have to. I didn't know that. But here's an opportunity for somebody. We need to keep those buses going. Keep them reaching people. We need to keep the tracks going out. We need to keep the door knocking going on. It's how the church produces new blood. We understand. We don't produce it. We're just the avenue through whom the Holy Ghost works when we go out there, all right? Spurgeon said this. He said, in any other calling, men are afraid of being crowded out if too many engage in it. Now think about what he said. If you're a photographer, there probably can be too many photographers for you to make a living. If you're a mechanic, maybe there can be too many mechanics. In any other calling, men are afraid of being crowded out if too many engage in it. But there is no part of this in the Christian ministry. There cannot be too many soul winners. That's what Spurgeon said. And he's absolutely right. And that's why we have this emphasis two times a year, in the spring and the fall. We set aside 3, 4, 5 Sundays just to have a special campaign to really get after it, folks, and work it. Hopefully the weather cooperates and we're able to have some really good results from being out there. And we just need you, the bone marrow. You're the bone marrow. I'm the bone marrow. And we need to be busy in this time. You know the story, December 12th. I know there's a lot of questions about its authenticity and everything, but I tried to do more than just a little bit of reading on it. On December 12th, 1799, they said that George Washington, the former president and the retired general of the U.S., the retired general of the United States Army, he spent hours on horseback inspecting his farm. And the day was miserably wet with cold and snow and freezing rain, and he got soaked. And he came in, the story goes that he came in and he ate his supper without changing his clothes. So he's soaking wet. And the next morning, he woke up with a bad cold, a fever, and a very sore and infected throat. And some think, some of those stories, accounts say, that he lapsed into pneumonia. A common practice in those days was to bleed a sick person. The thought behind that, we drain out bad, sick, infected blood, and it will help the healing process once you get rid of that blood. And the account is, the thought was, that the physician who attended to him was careless, and he drained too much blood, leaving George Washington weaker than he was. And 2 days later, on December 14th, just 2 days, in the evening, the 67-year-old former president and general died. If those physicians had just read this book right here, they would know. Folks, the very fact that platelets are made to stop bleeding kind of tells you it's probably not smart to drain somebody's blood completely. Died of blood loss? I don't know. Did he? It certainly didn't help. And it could be argued that maybe he did. Maybe he did die of that. Now, listen to what I'm about to say tonight. A church does not keep all of its members. You know that, right? If we kept everybody that ever came to church here, we'd be three times our size tonight. Okay? Some graduate to heaven. Some graduate to heaven. Some move on to other places to serve in ministry, like Jared Montgomery and Ben and Marty and Caleb and Jason and Mick and move on to other places. Jamie, Amanda. They move on to other places. Some marry and move away, like the bunch that up is in Rochester. Okay? Any of you ladies need a husband, check out what's happening in Rochester. Okay? I don't know. Some stop attending because they get entangled with the world. I so enjoy that discipleship class. And this morning, one of the members of the class, I asked for prayer requests, and the member of the class said, pray for me, just the temptations of the world. And I said, thanks for being honest. Every one of us faces those. And some people actually get entangled in them to the place where they drop out of church. Some people lapse into sinful practices and have to be removed from the church. Some are too sick to attend and are homebound. On and on and on. A church does not keep all of its members. So if a church does not reproduce new blood, it will die. My physical body, stops producing new blood, in time we're not going to live. And the same thing happens to it. I think some people never even consider it a possibility that their church could die. And then one day they learn that too much blood has been drained and the church is too weak to continue to live. Just this morning, no idea I was going to preach this tonight. A member of the church was talking to me in the foyer and said, pray for such and such. Independent Baptist Church in a town in this state with property, a church building, and a parsonage closed its doors. I was this sermon is already printed up in my briefcase ready for tonight. Like what I'm trying to tell you tonight, folks, is not baloney. Right. It happens. Amen. And we sit in right now what appears to be to you and me a healthy church. And the bone marrow seems to be God using the bone marrow, the members here, to produce some new blood. People getting saved and sticking with it. But just to assume, I'm just going to take it easy when it comes to this. church will be okay. Not if it loses too much blood. This place could be like that place if we're not careful. That's why we have a spring program. That's why we have a fall program. That's why it's not going to stop. It's going to keep on and on and on, because the life of the church body is in the blood. I'm going to tell you who should be concerned about this. It's all you young adults. It's all you young adults. You want a place where you can bring your kiddos, and there's not just one fifth grader and two seventh graders, but there's a handful, there's several in this class and several in this class, and they got their little friends. You ever look in this auditorium before service starts? And there's groupies down here. There's groupies. You got the older groupies over there and the younger groupies down here. And it's just, and we just think, oh, that'll always be. Will it? Will it? That'll just always happen. Will it? Not if new blood is not produced over and over. And we understand, folks, God gives the increase. We don't go out and decide, we're going to produce some new blood today. We don't do that. But we've put ourselves in a position where God can give the increase of new blood, because the life of the flesh, the life of the body, the life of the church body is in the blood. If I was a young adult in this church with little children or little children on the way and looking at, hopefully, if Jesus stays in heaven, years ahead of me, to have somewhere to go to church where there was life. I'd make sure I was involved in being the bone marrow that produces the blood. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please help our church, Lord, as we move ahead in these next several weeks. And Lord, these programs roll around every year, twice a year. And then we go out of program time, and it seems like a few months pass, and it's right back on us again. And Lord, I pray that we'll never take the position that it's too much, it's too often, because it's not. And the emphasis, Lord, that getting the gospel out, and reaching people, and folks need to be saved, and homes, marriages need to be helped. People need something worth living for. There's so much hopelessness in our society today. And God, the answer's in your word. And Lord, if you just help us as a church these next several weeks and put it on the hearts of your people to be involved, Lord, to jump in, just participate, put themselves in a place where you could use us to see somebody reached for Christ. If all they do is visit, and just sit under the sound of the gospel once, that's better than nothing. So, Lord, help us. We understand that you give the increase. All we can do is plant water. But Lord, I pray that you'll use us and use our church, and thank you for what you've done here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for people like the Adams who came already saved. That's encouraging. Lord, thank you for those who've come because they've just been saved. They've gotten in church, and I just pray that you'll help us to see the importance of that as we move ahead in this time. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The message tonight wasn't about salvation, but I don't want to close the service here, this part of it, without saying, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, if you don't know for sure that you've been saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're not sure you're saved, we have all the time in the world to have somebody take a Bible tonight and show you how to be saved. All we need to know is that you would like to know that. You'd like to know how to be saved. Curious. I'd like to hear that. If you're not sure that you're saved tonight, it's a simple thing. I'd like to pray for you, not by name. I may not know your name. Maybe you're here every week. You're not sure that you're saved. You could just let me know that by an uplifted hand. No one's looking. Just, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that heaven is my home. Anybody like that here tonight? If you've been saved and not baptized, you can come follow the Lord in believer's baptism tonight. But if you've not been saved, that's key. You've got to get that settled before it's too late. And then church members, look, let's just be faithful. And I would love to see a handful of folks who have yet to get involved, and especially the young adult. I'm talking about out of high school, the young adult, the young bones of our church, the young bones of the church body. I'd love to see you jump in, make yourself available. So here we are. We want to try to be a part of this thing. And we won't embarrass you. We'll put you where it won't be embarrassing. You can be a help if it's track passing out or whatever. But if God speaks to your heart about that, you see Brother Allen or myself or Brother Andrew, and let's get involved and let's see God work. And let me ask all of you just to pray. Pray over these next several weeks. Tomorrow's the month of April begins. It's a new page in our prayer booklet, and the emphasis is on the program. The prayer emphasis is on these next four Sundays starting April 14th. Let me encourage you to spend some time praying about this and asking God to help us reach people. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The pianist plays the song of invitation. New blood is the life of the body. It's the life of the physical body. It's the life of the church body.